DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, presents Roots of the Faith, From the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina. Mike Aquilina is the author or editor of more than 40 books on Catholic history, doctrine, and devotion. Among his many books are The Mass of the Early Christians, The Fathers of the Church, The Mass, The Glory, the Mystery, and the Tradition, co-authored with Cardinal Donald Wuerl, and The Roots of the Faith, The Church Fathers to You, on which this series is based. He has co-hosted with Dr. Scott Hahn 8 series that air on the Eternal Word television network. He has co-led pilgrimages to the Holy Land, Italy, Greece, and Turkey. He's a widely sought-after Catholic speaker. Roots of the Faith, From the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Welcome, Mike.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Chris, and thanks for sitting down and talking about the Fathers. It's great to be here with you, with our listeners, and with that great cloud of witnesses, the Fathers of the Church themselves, who are living in Christ right now. Mm-hmm. So they're living still, and they're right here with us. They're witnessing our conversation, and I'm sure they're taking part in it as well.
The title of the book is Roots of Faith. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, the roots are something that are unseen, but yet continue to feed the entire plant or the entire tree or whatever it is that it's nourishing. And that's what we have in this loving tradition that's been passed down to us.
We do. So few people know the Fathers of the Church because they lived so long ago in a galaxy far, far away. Well, maybe not a galaxy, but they lived in lands across the ocean, and they lived in cultures that are very much removed from the one we're living now. They didn't have the technology we have today. They didn't even have the lifespan we have today. They were living in a much different place with different concerns. And yet the faith is the same. We see that the Christian faith goes from generation to generation and it remains the same. Human nature doesn't change. Human behavior doesn't really change from generation to generation. The things around us are in constant flux, but the faith remains the same. And the Fathers witness to that. There's a great passage in the Catechism of the Catholic Church where it talks about the Fathers as always timely witnesses to the Church's timeless tradition. Mm-hmm. They're always timely, and they're always showing us what the Church has always believed since the very beginning.
It is such a valuable gift, isn't it, that's passed on to us through the teachings of these Fathers. Some of them lived really 2,000 years ago.
It is a gift because otherwise you're left with chaos. If you don't have that kind of witness, all you have is that flux we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Everything's always changing. You know, you're constantly looking at these ancient texts, the scriptures, from so many different perspectives. And what did the original authors mean? Well, the Fathers tell us what the Church has always thought about those texts of the scriptures. You know, how did the Church view those documents? How did the Church interpret those documents? How did the Church live out that gospel message? Well, when we read the documents of the Fathers, when we read the witness of the Fathers, we know. And we can see the teaching of the Church kind of spread out in an unbroken tradition going from generation to generation to generation, and it's always been the same. For example, what did the Church believe about the papacy? What did the Church believe about the internal structure of the Christian community? What did the Church believe about discipline and order in the Christian community? What did the Church believe about repentance and penance? What did the Church believe about any number of things? Is dancing okay? Mm-hmm. Is it okay to enjoy a glass of wine? All of these things that without the witness of tradition become so confused. And so you find people 1,000 years after the beginning of Christianity beginning to question whether the Eucharist is the real presence of Jesus Christ. Well, anyone who's tuned into the tradition will say, well, that's a nonsensical question. This is what the Church has always believed. We've always believed in the real presence, and that's how we interpret the 6th chapter of John's Gospel and the 11th chapter of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, all those things. It's a lived tradition, and the witness is very much alive.
Today, we are called to go back to that tradition and to really understand its connection with the lived out faith of the community, but also with the living scripture.
Right, right. And you know, even Protestants recognize that need for the authority of the fathers. And, you know, back in the 70s, there was a theologian, a German theologian, who was very much active in the ecumenical movement, and his name was Joseph Ratzinger.
I've heard of him.
And, of course, now we know him as Pope Benedict XVI. But he is a man who steeped himself in the fathers. He studied the fathers. He made himself a disciple of the fathers. He got to know them very well. And in one of his works that he wrote in the 70s, he asked the question, what is the authority of the church fathers? If we all agree that they have some authority, well, let's ask ourselves, what is that authority? And he answered that the fathers are a constitutive and essential part of divine revelation. Mm-hmm. And he worked that idea out for us. He said that God revealed himself definitively in Jesus Christ. He gave himself completely to the world through the incarnation of the eternal Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Mm-hmm. And really, there's nothing left to reveal. Mm-hmm. There is God himself in the flesh. Come and live among us. And so he made his dwelling here among us. But communication really is not a one-way process. It's right. Not just sit down and shut up and listen. Mm-hmm. There's still that listening that's an active reception of the Word, right? Mm-hmm. So God spoke, and humanity listened, and humanity responded. The church responded. The church said amen to the Father's revelation in Jesus Christ. So what is that great amen? What Pope Benedict, with Joseph Ratzinger, worked out for us is the idea that the fathers of the church provided the great amen to God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. How did that work itself out? Well, it worked itself out in the establishment of the canon of the scriptures. Over those first 400 years of the church's life, the canon of scriptures was established definitively in an unchanging way through the councils of the church, through the writings of the fathers, and through these canons, these lists of books mm-hmm. that have come down to us from the early years of the church. What else? The sacraments of the church, the rites of the church, the liturgical life of the church, and the great liturgical families in the church, those were established, well established, during the time of the fathers of the church, those first few centuries of the church's life. All of these things were established during the era of the fathers as the church's great amen to divine revelation.
Mike, I'm certain you've encountered those who will challenge that tradition, that authority, by saying, well, the church is changing, it's evolving, it's hasn't been the same. The way we celebrate isn't the same way that they celebrated in those early days. But that's not exactly a truism, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. Of course, the church changes in a sense in its externals. The church responds in particular ways to the different things that are happening in history. The church has to preach in the language that people understand, so that the language of the church's message is going to change from generation to generation, but the content is always the same. We are not the first generation in history to undergo these seismic changes. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the time of the fathers, they went through these enormous catastrophic changes in their civilization during those early centuries. They witnessed the fall of the Roman Empire. They witnessed great wars with the Persian Empire. They witnessed the barbarian incursions, the unthinkable happening when Rome was sacked and Jerome was horrified at a distance because Rome had been penetrated. How could this happen? This was the great cataclysm, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing like this has ever happened before, and nothing like this will ever happen again.
Right.
Well, I got news for you. It happens all the time. There are always these huge things happening, great changes in the world, and the church is always responding to these, but it's always responding with the unchanging gospel.
We'll return to Roots of the Faith with Mike Aquilina in just a moment. Hi, this is Chris McGregor of Discerning Hearts, which is a 501c3 fully tax-deductible nonprofit organization dedicated to evangelization and spiritual formation through the use of new media. Discerning Hearts creates engaging multimedia specializing in podcasts and radio broadcasts, faithful to the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church and its rich, authentic spiritual tradition. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, please consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to support our efforts. We charge nothing for any of the programs that are available on Discerning Hearts, and our outreach is literally to the world. Please tell a friend about Discerning Hearts and either download our free apps, which are available at iTunes and Google Play stores, or visit discerninghearts.com. If you could travel back to the early days of the church, would you recognize it? Would the Mass seem familiar? Could you go to confession? Would you feel supported if you made a case against abortion? And would those early Christians be puzzled if you suggested praying to the saints? In Roots of the Faith, Mike Aquilina makes it clear that as far as the essentials are concerned, that time travel back would reveal a church familiar to Catholics today. Just as the acorn grows into a tree and yet remains the same plant, so the Catholic Church is a living organism that has grown from the faith of the earliest Christians into the body of Christ we know today. Mike Aquilina is the Executive Vice President of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology and has hosted several series on the Eternal Word television network. Mike's books include Angels of God, Love in the Little Things, Fire of God's Love, and The Fathers of the Church. In Roots of the Faith, we'll journey back. Episodes will include The Mass, the Universal Sign, Confession, the History of Mercy. From the Scriptures to the Bible, the saints in heaven, the clergy, the papacy, sex and the sexes, the mysteries of marriage, the case for celibacy, defending human life. What was spoken to the church almost 2,000 years ago is as relevant to the living church of today. Roots of the Faith, from the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina, based on the book from the same name, published by Servant Books. With Mike's insight, we'll see that the church today, the church the apostles knew, the church for which the martyrs died. We know that our tradition goes all the way back to Christ Himself. We know that nothing essential has changed. In fact, if we hopped onto a time machine and flew back to the days of the martyrs, we'd feel right at home, no matter how different the world around us was. Mike Aquilina will help us to see that tradition isn't just the past, it's what we pass on to the future as well. We are the witnesses future generations will turn to. They'll look back at us and recognize their own church, however it may have grown since our time. Mike helps us to understand that we are living the history of the church right now, and it's every bit as exciting as it was back in the days of St. Clement and St. Jerome. The church will continue guided by the Holy Spirit, and as Mike has told us, if we stick with the church, we'll become part of the great cloud of witnesses who testify to the truth. And the truth will set us free with many of our neighbors, our co-workers, and our friends. Roots of the Faith, from the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina. We now return to The Roots of the Faith with Mike Aquilina. It occurs to me that when we go back again to the title of the book, Roots of the Faith, that the roots remain and they grow and deepen. And the tree that it's nourishing grows and it changes, but yet it's the same tree.
Yes, it's the
same plant.
When it was an acorn, right? You know, genetically, it's the same thing as when it was an acorn, but it looks a lot different, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And the church is that way. You know, we look at St. Peter's Basilica now, and it's the biggest house of worship on earth, I think. And we look at that and we marvel at it. And there was nothing like that, of course, in the church of 150 A.D.,
mm-hmm.
You know, the Church of the Martyrs and the Church of the Apologists. They didn't know anything like that. They didn't have the freedom to build that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They had to build their cathedrals with their words, and their words certainly have lasted down these millennia. But you know what? They are practicing the same faith we live today, and they were observing the same rituals we observe today. They received the same communion we receive today. And when we receive that communion today, we are living in communion with them. And they are our fellow worshipers. They are there in the congregation with us. I love the fact that when we go to Mass on a Sunday and we recite the Confiteor, we acknowledge that all the angels and saints are right here with me right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're all gathered with me in this Mass. It's the same Mass.
Mm-hmm. Over the next few segments, that tradition, that wonderful gift that has been passed down to us, the roots of the faith, will be subjects like the Mass, confession, Scripture, the saints, all those things that make up this richness that mm-hmm. we call church.
Right. Right. And it's exciting. They are, the fathers of the church are still feeding us the way the roots feed the trunk of the church and the outermost leaves, you know, that are reaching up to the sun. So we're up there and we're not aware of all of this rich, nutritious stuff that's down there in the soil of our faith. But I hope we'll all get in better touch with it and get to know it and really respond with gratitude. Thank God, praise God for what He has worked through the history of our church. Thank God and praise God for what He has placed at our disposal. And because He has thought about us, you know, from way back, in 150 AD, in 250 AD, in 350 AD, He was already anticipating so many of the problems that we would face today in ordinary parish life, and He was giving us good pastoral solutions to them way back then, and giving us good models, good saints to call upon for help and to follow after as we try to live these issues out today. It's a great gift that we have in the fathers and in their always timely witness that's come down to us, preserved in their documents that have been lovingly cared for by the church down through the millennia.
That imagery of the planting of a seed mm-hmm. and the roots, you know, just growing and spreading out, those roots planted by Christ for us to nourish as we grow and has been nourished in that soil by the blood of those martyrs.
Yes.
That real sacrifice of, if not a physical death witness to the world, but how sometimes by their own lives.
One of the fathers of the church, Tertullian, was writing around 190, 200 AD. And so we're talking about very early in the church's life, and already he gives us this great line. He says, "The blood of the martyrs is seed."
Mm-hmm.
The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And really, it's the seed that was planted in the ground so long ago. You know, our Lord said, unless the seed falls and goes into the ground and dies, you know, we won't have that life, that Eucharistic life. Well, the blood of the martyrs, that was a Eucharistic life poured out in imitation of Jesus Christ. And it was the seed of the church. The more they mowed us down, the more the church grew up. So we're living off their strength. We're living off their strength even now. We're living off their witness. That's what martyrdom means. A martyr is a witness. And their martyrdom is the testimony they give. It's the witness they give. So we owe them so much. And I figure the least we could do is read the words they left us. The least we can do is to return to the side of their martyrdom and read that story again and go there in our imagination and live through it again and watch it. And again, praise God and thank God for what He has worked through the lives of so many great saints in the church, that He has strengthened them so that they could pour out their blood for me. and for the church that I love so much today in this year of our Lord, 21 centuries later.
We really owe it to them, as in essence their spiritual children, to go back and look at that legacy, because as you have so beautifully stated, their lives, they truly did live and suffer, and to be able to bear witness and to pass this on to us, and to think that sometimes, Mike, that we have this image of them as these cold statues that
yes.
maybe were untouchable, but they were real flesh and blood people.
And nothing could be further from the truth than this idea that they're so distant from us that they could never understand us. They do. It's not for nothing that we call them fathers of the church, and even mothers of the church, if we want to mm-hmm. talk about Saints Perpetua and Felicity, for example, and I'm sure we'll talk about Saint Macrina as we go along, too. But it's not for nothing that we call them fathers. Spiritual paternity is more real than physical paternity. It's something that's more should be more valuable to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have established the home that we live in today, that we love today. You know, we can relax here and we can kick up our feet and love our lives in the church because they worked so hard, because they spilled their blood making it a good place for us to live. You know, we have to show our gratitude for them by going back to those works and by going back to their deeds. The commandment is to honor your father and your mother. Okay, and the church has always interpreted that as meaning not only the ones who gave you physical life, but also anyone who has a paternal or maternal role in your life. So all of these ancient saints who are our fathers of the church, they deserve that kind of reverence from us, that kind of respect. They have merited it, and God commands it of us, really.
And what we'll discover over the course of this travel in this beautiful book that you have given us, The Roots of the Faith, is that it's in all aspects of our lives. It's mm-hmm. not just in categories, but they are actually areas that blanket each other, cross over each other. All it's a great web, a net.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny, in our imagination, when we think back on those ancient times and the times of the martyrs, we kind of imagine them to be people who cowered in their basements all the time and ran out to go to church on Sunday, and they really didn't have any lives. Well, I got news for you. They had lives just like ours. They had professions just like ours. They went to work. You know, they had children. They had to raise children in a challenging environment that was just rife with pornography and abortion and all of these other anti-family forces. They had to struggle against so many of the things that we still struggle with today. We can learn from them because we can look back on their lives and we can see that they succeeded at that struggle. They won. Mm-hmm. They faced a culture of death. They faced it down and they triumphed over that culture of death and established a civilization of love in its place. We want to do the same thing, at least with our homes. We want to succeed in raising our children and our grandchildren. We want at least that much. Well, we can learn from what these ancient Christians have to teach us, because again, they faced the same struggle and they won.
We're in for a great adventure, aren't we?
We are, and it'll be a lot of fun because they're great company, the fathers of the church.
They are, and the gifts that they give us are better than anything under a Christmas tree.
They really are, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. The great thing about the fathers is that they have left so much for us to read and study and to grow in our knowledge of, and new documents are always being rediscovered. In the past 15, 20 years, we found many new sermons of St. Augustine that had been lost for centuries. You know, here he was preaching back in the 400s, the early 400s, and those sermons went out there, they got lost, and people find them, you know, stowed away in these ancient monasteries. And suddenly, these words are preached to us, and we recognize the voice as strangely our own. It's strangely modern mm-hmm. in its concerns, in its intelligence. So yes, the fathers just keep giving, and they are a gift, and they are the gift that keep on giving.
I'm looking forward to the coming sessions that we're going to have. Final thoughts for this introduction.
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be a happy conversation because we're looking back at a time that's so inspiring, and it's a time that's so interesting too. It's a time you could do endless adventure movies about. So we're going to be going through some very interesting stories and living with some interesting people. The works of the fathers that have survived to this time have survived for a reason. They're the best. History is like this great sieve where the bad stuff, for the most part, is sifted away, and the stuff that remains is pure gold. It's the stuff that every generation considers the most valuable. I mean, think about it. There were no printing presses.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that was copied out even once had to be of extreme value to someone because you were spending a lot of time copying out that book. Mm-hmm. Well, imagine, in order for it to survive for those 1,500 years till there was a printing press, it had to be copied out again and again and again and again and again many times. And it had to be preserved from the elements. Mm-hmm. And it had to be kept out of the sun and kept away from dampness. All of those things that could have destroyed it. Those words had to be loved with a Christian heart in order to be preserved for 2,000 years. And goodness, those are the words we're going to be spending so much time with over the coming weeks. I'm looking forward to it, Chris.
I can't wait, Mike. You've been listening to The Roots of the Faith, From the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we pray that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com. And join us next time for Roots of the Faith, From the Church Fathers to You, with Mike Aquilina.